This is The State of Things. I'm Melinda Pencava. There are more than 350 public television stations and nearly 700 public radio stations in the U.S., and most receive at least some of their funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The CPB, which was created by congressional decree in 1967, funnels government money to stations, networks, and producers. Indeed, this very program, The State of Things, got its start with a CPB grant, which helped fund it for several years. Well, 2 weeks ago, the House Appropriations Committee in Washington approved a bill that would cut a quarter of the CPB's operating budget from $400 million to $300 million. And the CPB is at the vortex of another controversy. The chairman of the CPB board has said that public broadcasting has a reputation of leaning to the left, and he wants to balance that with new programming from the right. When President Johnson signed the Public Broadcasting Act back in 1967, he said the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, quote, will be free and it will be independent and it will belong to all of our people. So the question is, has it been and can it be? And how would funding cuts to the CPB and the other changes being proposed affect stations here in North Carolina? We welcome your calls this hour. Our number is 1-877-962-9862. That's 1-877-962-9862. Joining us now is David Folkenflik. He is National Public Radio's media correspondent. He has been covering the Corporation for Public Broadcasting issue extensively lately. We should say he was also a reporter for the Durham Herald Sun at one point in his career. And he joins us from NPR Studios in Washington. Hi there, David.
Hey there. How are you?
Fine. Well, there are two issues here with the CPB of late, funding and control. And I'd first like to talk about the funding. Would the cuts be greater than 25%? Because we're talking about a cut before the House Appropriations Committee of cutting $100 million of the $400 million operating budget.
That's right. That represents a 25% cut, which is a pretty significant whack. It was passed by the House Appropriations Committee. It's expected to be considered by the full House at the end of this week. In addition, however, the Appropriations Committee essentially eliminated separate funding that would have helped public broadcasting make a mandated conversion to digital on the television side, and also a fairly significant grant that affects children's programming. So taken in whole, it's public broadcasting executives at PBS and NPR say it's more like a 40-some percent cut. It's well over $100 million cut in total, if you consider that as a sort of a whole package.
So what is behind this move?
Well, I talked to Ralph Regula. He's an Ohio Republican who's chairman of the House subcommittee that oversees the larger spending bill of which this is a part. He says, look, we have new costs. We have the new Medicare prescription drug plan costs. We've got the tax cuts. We've got the spending for military operations in the Middle East. A lot of social programs are taking a significant cut at this time. Public broadcasting is not immune from that. In addition, he said, perhaps this is time for public broadcasting to think about, relying more heavily, leveraging itself, getting more private subsidies and funding. He says it's not part of political or cultural wars. He says, I asked him directly, were there complaints from colleagues about the kinds of things that you referred to in your introduction from the chairman of the CPB board, that is, the question of whether there's bias in public broadcasting. He said Mr. Regula said he hadn't really heard that from his colleagues. This was more about money, perhaps a little bit about the question philosophically of the degree to which government subsidizes things like public broadcasting.
Now, there have been efforts in the past to cut back funding. How would this particular cut, whether it's 25 or 40%, whatever figure there, how would that compare to efforts in the past? Famously, Newt Gingrich, of course, about a decade ago, wanted to cut back funding for public broadcasting.
Yeah, famously, he wanted to eliminate it. I mean, that was sort of one of his great rallying cries in early 95. It was one of his humbling moments where, one of the things is that you have NPR and PBS stations that reach people all over the country, and they reach particularly places, away from urban centers. So you have congressmen and senators representing, often rural or less densely populated areas, often conservative lawmakers who themselves are hearing from constituents that this is something they value. And that's a pressure point politically, if you look at it, for advocates of public broadcasting to rally support. Gingrich found that he couldn't guarantee support even of his entire conference, his own side of the aisle. And the Democrats were fairly unified in supporting public broadcasting at that time.
So how is it shaking down this time? Is there more partisanship than in the past? Or is that happening again where those who would be conservatives, Republicans, are not falling in line behind leadership on this?
I think it's just starting to shake out. This kind of crept up on public broadcasting officials. I mean, I asked Mr. Tomlinson at one point, hey, what the heck happened with this budget thing? I mean, NPR and PBS officials were not prepared of a cut of this magnitude, the ones that I interviewed anyway. Mr. Tomlinson said he was taken aback by it. You're not seeing a lot of other Republican officials on the Hill step forward saying, yes, by God, we want to cut this. I think they're kind of watching to see public reaction. I think they're trying to see if there's going to be support for not only support, but sort of demand for reintroducing it. Mr. Tomlinson, again, the CPB board chairman, and Pat Mitchell, who's the CEO of PBS, say they both expect this to be largely restored by the Senate side. That may well be the case. I do think that a number of congressional aides I've spoken to argue that there's less flexibility than in the recent past to do that because of some of the budget pressures I mentioned a few moments ago.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with David Folkenflik, who is National Public Radio's media correspondent. We're talking about some of the proposed changes at the Corporation for Public Broadcasting about the funding. There's a call in Congress to cut the funding for the operating budget by 25%, but other cuts could add up to a 40% cut in the funding for CPB. The other big CPB issue, David Folkenflik, is who runs the show. There's the chairman, Ken Tomlinson, who has said there has been a leftward tilt in public broadcasting, and he wants to rectify that.
He's been a very muscular leader. In fact, at the moment, there's not a permanent president. The board has been meeting this week to pick one. The last president was forced out in April after about 9 months on the job. Mr. Tomlinson has been a critic of the news coverage on PBS and on NPR. He feels that the lineup has been listing to the left, as you say, on PBS. To some degree, the steps that PBS has taken have, I think, addressed his concerns. They, for a time, I did a show with the conservative commentator Tucker Carlson, who's now decamped to MSNBC. And they've added a show featuring the Wall Street Journal's editorial board. It's a fairly conservative group hashing through various issues of public interest. He felt that the show, particularly now, which was created with the commentator Bill Moyers, was deeply unfair. Moyers is a consistent and very severe critic of the Bush administration. The show was scaled back to a half hour. Mr. Moyers is no longer part of it. He will be appearing on other programs on PBS, but it would seem that Mr. Tomlinson has, to some degree, helped to shape the lineup on PBS on that score.
And also the lineup on who runs it, because there is this, it's up in the air as of today, it may be announced today, who the next CPB president is. And there's this effort to have a former co-chair of the Republican National Committee become the president of the CPB.
That's right. He has been an advocate of Patricia Harrison. She's an assistant U.S. Secretary of State. I think it's important to point that out. But she was also, during the 90s, the co-chairwoman of the Republican National Committee. A number of critics, such as John Lawson, who heads up an advocacy group representing a tremendous number of the PBS stations across the country, say that putting a figure like that at the top of CPB would reflect sort of a partisan and politicization of the CPB. Others point to the fact that there have been varying, you know, the CPB is this funny animal. It's a not-for-profit corporation. Its nine board members are appointed by the president, and, you know, they have to be then confirmed by the Senate. CPB itself relies totally on federal dollars allocated by Congress. So it's this sort of quasi-federal creation. It has a tension inside its mandate, which says it's supposed to insulate public broadcasting from political pressure. But there's also this notion that it's supposed to guarantee that public broadcasting provides objective and fair coverage. And, you know, there's a real tension between those two things because ensuring that balance can constitute, you know, an infringement upon the independence of journalists. And Mr. Tomlinson has, I think, interpreted his charge. He's sort of an activist chairman. He's interpreted his charge more to what he sees as rectifying what he has viewed as, at times, unfair coverage rather than as serving solely as a heat shield from political pressure.
You speak of a heat shield, but there's also been terminology used about a firewall that has existed in the past between CPB and the money that goes for programming and a hands-off attitude about what that money pays for. about the editorial control of the programming. But that could be changing?
Well, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. It's not as though there's never been any effort to pull political levers or to somehow pressure the CPB to get things done slightly differently. Nonetheless, this seems to be a fairly acute time, particularly for the last few years. People within the public broadcasting realm say Mr. Tomlinson, or some critics within the broadcasting realm, I should say Mr. Tomlinson is operating in a way that may violate the statute on political pressure. In fact, two House Democrats basically prompted an investigation by the Inspector General of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to see if Mr. Tomlinson's actions constituted unwarranted, undue, perhaps even illegal political pressure.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things he had done was try to find out how leftward-leaning Bill Moyers' program was by paying somebody to go through the guests for that.
That's right. He paid a consultant that he had, I think, known from Reader's Digest days, where Mr. Tomlinson was an editor for many years, to monitor Bill Moyers' coverage, and in fact sought other ways to sort of monitor NPR and PBS's news coverage as well.
Okay. Well, we'll be continuing to monitor the situation, as will you, I imagine. David Folkenflik, thank you for joining us today.
Good to be with you.
David Folkenflik is National Public Radio's media consultant. He joined us from the studios of NPR in Washington. We're talking today about the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The funding organization is facing government cuts and a movement towards some more oversight of the programming that CPB pays for. We are taking your calls this hour. The number is 1-877-962-9862. In just a moment, we'll get some views on the ground here in North Carolina of how this could affect the stations in the state as well as the programming that is heard on them. That's coming up in just a moment. Support for the State of Things comes from listeners who support North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. This is the State of Things. I'm Melinda Pencava. We're talking today about the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, its funding, as well as control over the editorial content on the programming that CPB pays for. There is a move in Congress to cut federal funding to the CPB. That proposal calls for slicing $100 million from the $400 million operating budget, and that could mean less money for the CPB to send to public radio and TV stations. It has been reported that smaller stations could be hit hardest by these proposed cuts. One such station might be WNCU, which broadcasts jazz and public affairs from the campus of North Carolina Central University in Durham. Edith Thorpe is the general manager of WNCU, and we spoke with her earlier today. We started out by asking just how much money her station gets from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
4 years ago, WNCU was only receiving a very small portion of its budget from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, very small in the amount of about $40,000+. But at this point, we are receiving $178,000.
What percentage of your budget does that represent?
It represents about a fourth of the budget.
And so if the budget for CPB is cut, and right now it's looking at about a quarter of the CPB budget to be cut.
Yes.
What would that mean for you?
It would mean that there would be positions that we have, particularly the development director position, which is the fundraising arm of the radio station, would go away. Our business manager is also paid from that particular grant. We also pay for programming for our radio station, not just NPR programming, but we also have alternative programs like Free Speech Radio and Democracy Now. Our Associated Press service would go away. So, you know, that particular grant is most important to our station from a perspective of programming and development. And development meaning, you know, we're able to use the monies from CPB to extend what we do fundraising-wise so that we're able to continue to grow the station.
So it's rather like seed money.
Certainly.
But there might be critics who would say, well, the seed's been planted, so why couldn't stations like WNCU harvest what the seeds have brought already and get more people to give money to the radio station, you know, from listeners or through corporate underwriting?
Well, I think that it takes a while. It is something that just doesn't happen overnight. And the case of our station, we have been growing, but there's still a ways to grow before we're able to say that we do not need that particular federal support.
And Edith Thorpe, are you going to be doing anything special to try to get the CPB not to make those cuts?
Well, actually, we have produced a spot that's going to run on our air. And we are also putting something up on our website. We have to, of course, get everything approved through the university attorney before we make those kinds of moves. But those are the things that we're doing here locally. And also, you know, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting does not only support stations like mine, but they also support funding for programming, the production of programming. And were it not for CPB, programs like the former Tavis Smalley Show would not have been on the air. The Ed Gorton Show, which is currently being funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And that is why I think it's most important for people to understand and know that CPB is a financial support to radio stations that are able to put a voice on the air that you wouldn't normally hear.
Edith Thorpe is general manager of WNCU on the campus of North Carolina Central University. We spoke with her earlier today from her office there. Now, to get more perspective on what the moves at the CPB may mean here in North Carolina, we've asked Tom Howe, who is general manager of UNC-TV, and Joan Seifert-Rose, general manager of North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC, which is the station producing this program, The State of Things, to join us. Welcome, Tom Howe. Welcome, Joan Seifert-Rose.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Hello.
Hi there. Well, if these proposed cuts are passed, I'll start with you first, Joan, about public radio, and then we'll move to you, Tom, about public TV. How would they affect public radio in North Carolina, the cuts that are proposed for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting?
All right. The CPB grants for North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC, amount to, this year, about $370,000, and that's of a total budget of $5.4 million. So you just heard Edith Thorpe talk about a much smaller station where the CPB funds are a pretty significant part of their daily operating budget. For WUNC, it's more about 6-7%, but what we use those funds for, we buy a significant amount of national programming, the NPR shows like Morning Edition, and also programs from other distributors like A Prairie Home Companion. We use some of the funds to pay those bills, which our audience has told us they really value a lot. We also use some of the funds to support local production like The State of Things and Back Porch Music. And I should also point out, Melinda, that there was a special Corporation for Public Broadcasting grant that helped launch The State of Things here on a daily basis back in 2001. And that was a special time when we got additional funding from CPB to make the show possible, and that grant expired at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tom, how would these cuts, proposed cuts, affect public television and UNC-TV in particular?
It would be quite dramatic, and the reason it would be quite dramatic is to put it in context. And the context is that we've lost about $2 million in our state support for our ongoing operating funds over the last 4 years, while during the same time period our PBS costs have gone up by about $400,000 and are going up by $200,000 next year.
That's what you have to pay to buy the programs from Public Broadcasting Service.
That's right. And our community service grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting for this current year is $2.6 million, and that would be reduced by about $750,000 if these cuts are approved. So our situation is we've had declining state support, increasing PBS costs, and our private fundraising is flat. So a loss of these federal funds, which are a key ingredient to our overall funding structure here, would result in a significant reduction of services. We don't know which services yet. It'd be a very controversial and difficult decision to make, but it means something major would have to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, we heard David Folkenflik say earlier that in talking to a member of the subcommittee that brought out this proposal for cutting CPB funding, that it was done because cuts have to be made across the board. You know, there are other needs in the federal budget, and, you know, more or less that public broadcasting will have to take its share. So I have to wonder what you would say to that if there's a call for spending more money on Medicaid or social programs.
Sure, and I can appreciate the situation they're in. I'm not an expert on the federal budget, but David Price, our Congressman David Price, is, and I met with him yesterday, and he told me that these cuts are disproportionate to the cuts that are being endured by other ongoing services. So from his point of view, there's more than just the budget situation. There's something else at work here. And our cuts are, in terms of the percentage of cut, which, you know, for public television totally, when you look at the total cut, it amounts to a total cut of about $245 million. Or about 45% of our current federal support when you add all the cuts up.
And I think that's an important point to make, too. It's a very significant drop in a very short amount of time for public broadcasting as a system overall. And I'd like to mention, Melinda, that one principle that I think is at risk here when you look at a reduction that sharp and that quickly is that you're threatening the concept of a public broadcasting service, radio and TV, that is universally available across the country. When you look at UNC-TV, Tom's operation, every home in North Carolina has the ability to receive educational broadcasting, even those homes that maybe don't have access to cable TV or to satellite television. They can have this come into their homes free of charge. In North Carolina, a public radio station service reaches about 95% of the residents of the state. If funds were to go away, it really would have a disproportionate effect on those serving small rural areas and stations like Edith Thorpe's that serve minority audiences. There is a real chance that we could see sort of a change in the fabric of the ability for public broadcasting to be universally accessible to all listeners and viewers in the state. I think that's a very important principle that needs to be aired. This needs to be discussed, and it's something that I think that listeners and viewers have expressed some real concern about.
I wonder if changes in technology in the past few decades, though, have given a challenge to that idea that public broadcasting can fill that void in so many places. Because, you know, in the past 20, 30 years, there's been the advent of cable television, which is providing the kind of programming, Tom Howe, that public TV used to have the market, they cornered the market on. So people can go and get those such programs on cable. Also, in the radio realm, there's satellite radio now that, you know, crosses the country. So does that hurt the argument? Or there might be those who say the marketplace is providing that.
Well, the best counter to that argument is the remote control. I would challenge any listener to go home and sit down tonight at 8 o'clock and flip around and try to find anything of the quality that public television offers, because I personally don't think it's available. That's not to say all other television is bad, but it's to say that PBS and UNC-TV is committed to quality programming that I think is not found anywhere else, and the reality is the American public feels the same. Survey after survey has shown that overwhelming majority, 80% in fact, of the American public feel that the federal money spent for public television is money well spent, and a majority of them think that in fact too little funding is given to the federal government. So my message to members of Congress is, ask your constituents what they feel about public broadcasting funding, because overwhelmingly the American public support some federal funds going to public radio and television. And in fact, compared to other federal programs, the funding is really very modest. It comes out for public television to be about $1.25 per citizen per year, which I think the American public, again, in survey after survey, have shown that they feel that's an excellent value for their tax dollar.
Joan Seifert-Rose?
Yes, as far as the audience for public radio, it's growing. This is one point, I think, that one of the questions is it a relevant service? And it is growing. When you think about 9/11 in particular, just the service that NPR and, in our case, also the BBC were able to provide over the course of that episode and the months that followed, I think really cemented its value. It's beyond the reach of a lot of commercial broadcasters to suspend all other programming to be able to bring public service-oriented news and information programming at that kind of depth and for that length of time. It's just not a business model that makes a lot of sense. So I'd say that there really has been demonstrated value, and I think consistently there is, to the kind of programming that the national providers make available. And also here at North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC, I mean, we're committed to providing coverage of the state legislature, of education, the environment, the changing economy around here. Again, not the sort of thing that necessarily makes sense from a business standpoint if you're just looking at reaching the maximum number of listeners and raising the most amount of money around it. So I would say that the audience has responded by choosing to listen to public radio. In addition, you mentioned satellite radio. I mean, that's always going to have a charge associated with it. It's at least $10 a month, I believe, and there's a fee to buy the radio itself. So that it really does not make it universally accessible and never will.
We go to Mike, who's in Durham. Hi there, Mike.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the program. Did you have a comment?
Yes, ma'am, I sure do. I see this whole episode as another attempt on the part of our government, on the part of the White House, to shift the thinking of the nation more towards the right. Because when you can control the media, and you can control the media very easily by controlling the dollars that go into it, when you control the media, you can control and sculpt the thinking of a nation. We saw that happen in pre-World War II Europe. And it can happen again.
Tell me, Mike, from your perspective, which it sounds like you're concerned about what's going on here. Which concerns you more? Is it the cut in funding, or would it be that the CPB would exercise more control over the editorial content of what goes out on that what it pays for in programming, and has made efforts to have those from the right have more of a presence on it?
Well, I really think that there is a real danger on the part of for the listeners to have programming shifted more and more towards the right and away from the centrist view that we mostly see coming from National Public Radio, National Television, and I think that that by controlling the dollars going in, you can control what is broadcast to a greater degree. And so I think it's not an either-or, but it's a both kind of situation.
I'd like to respond to that.
Genres.
Yeah, I think it's just important to point out that to date, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting has not made any attempt, direct or indirect, to talk to NPR or to any other stations and say, this program can't be on the air. I know that there is a lot of thought that somehow this has already occurred. I think there's been a lot of coverage out there that CPB is actively changing programming that people are listening to. I really want to assure all listeners, and I know that Tom Howe feels the same way, that would be unacceptable. It would be unacceptable to have anything that would really threaten our station's journalistic independence. And I think that if it ever came to that, that would be a very extreme change to what has gone on traditionally in terms of CPB's role in passing along funding from Congress to individual stations and to program producers. So I really want to assure everybody that I think that would be an unacceptable change for public broadcasters in general. Now, that said, I think that there are other principles that go into play here in terms of CPB's historic role in making a public broadcasting service available to all listeners that are very much at stake, and that is a concern. But I hear what this listener is saying and his concerns that he has raised about bringing politics into an area that traditionally has been really quite bipartisan in terms of people's support and use of public broadcasting. Mm.
Tom, now has there been pressure that you've seen?
No, not at all.
But what about the Bill Moyers program? Bill Moyers stepped down from doing Now. That had been a rather flashpoint. Had been a flashpoint, had it not?
Yes, it has been. And in thinking about this, one of the things that I've realized in analyzing it is that the issue about balance seems to be exclusively at the national level. Whereas here at UNC-TV, we don't hear concerns about balance in our programming. And I thought, well, what's the difference? And there is a significant difference, and that is we work very hard in our original programs to balance every program. We're very, very careful about that. And many, many years ago, in fact, it probably was over 10 years ago, PBS decided to make a shift, and they reached the conclusion that as long as the overall schedule was balanced, it wouldn't matter if any individual program is balanced. So what happens is somebody tunes in a show like Bill Moyers, and they see only one point of view expressed, or see a program certainly that tends to lean in one direction, and then they get angry because they don't feel that their side is well represented. And the answer that we tend to give them is, well, look at the whole schedule and you'll find other points of view. Well, nobody looks at the whole schedule. They tend to watch a single program. So frankly, I think it was a mistake to go in this direction of it's okay if one program is unbalanced because you're going to balance it with another show. I'm old-fashioned, and I'm a fan of every program being balanced, and certainly that's a standard we adhere to here.
It should be said that Bill Moyers has said that he had people from the right as well on the show, that there was a point of view in his program, but that those voices would be represented there. Ryan is in Asheboro. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome. So what's your take on all this?
Well, I wanted to kind of make a comment and see the reaction of it. And this had to do with Mr. Tomlinson at CPB.
Yes.
And the hiring of, I think it was Mr. Mann, to actually do this research. And we're talking about things that aren't political, yet the labels that this person used were anti-Bush, anti-delay, and there was even misrepresentation of the numbers by calling someone like Senator Chuck Hagel from Nebraska, who is a conservative Republican, but he was labeled as a liberal. I mean, I just, yeah. You know,
and you're talking about this. You're talking about the survey that the monitoring that the head of the CPB board, Ken Thomason,
exactly,
asked to be done. Have somebody go through and watch all the programs of Bill Moyers for that.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, Tom Howe, what's your take then? Do you see as what Ryan is saying there, and also what the previous caller was saying, is that the money is inextricably tied in with control?
No, I don't get a sense of control at all, and there may have been some inappropriate use of language in that one report, but I welcome scrutiny of our programs, and I think we should be open to input, whether it's from ombudsmans or consultants or whatever, as long as the decision-making rests with the people that are in charge of the programs and the producers. Mm-hmm. I think we should welcome comment. I think we should welcome concerns and then try to address them if they're genuine. So I think there's been, frankly, too much defensiveness on the part of many of my industry colleagues about these concerns about balance.
Well, Tom,
and I think some of the corrective, I think PBS has taken some corrective steps. But I have to go back that I think the best way to correct it is to strive for balance in every program.
Well, Tom Howe, thank you for being with us. Tom Howe is UNCTV's director and general manager. We continue our conversation on the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and your calls at 1-877-962-9862 on the State of Things. This is The State of Things. I'm Melinda Pankova. We are talking this hour about the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the CPB. We're discussing both the financial future of the CPB, which provides money to public radio and TV stations and programmers across the country. There is a move in Congress to cut some of the funding for the CPB, and there's also the issue of control over the content of what a CPB pays for in that public broadcasting. With us in the studio is Joan Seifert-Rose. She is general manager of North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. And as we've said, this particular program, The State of Things, was expanded to be a daily program thanks to a grant from the CPB several years ago. The show is no longer getting that CPB money. Right?
That's true. And I really do want to point out one thing before we move on, and that is when we were receiving that CPB grant, this has historically been the position of the corporation. They wanted to help the WUNC grow to serve more listeners in its midday, and providing what we were aiming for was to create a program that matched in style and sound the national programs that NPR and others were offering that were midday talk and interview programming. And that was what the grant went to help us do. It helped us hire some additional programming staff and some technical expertise. I really have to say, in the 3 years that we received the funding for that grant, there was never one question asked about what kinds of interviews we were going to do on this program, what kind of guests we were going to have, or whether or not there was any question at all about whether the station was trying to present any particular point of view. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting historically has made these funds available to help stations reach and serve their audiences better, and that decision and control has been very much left at the local level. Mm-hmm. So I really want to assure anyone who has been concerned about what they've been reading now, well, you know, was there some suggestions from the government about the kinds of stories we should be doing. That was absolutely not the case. And in fact, I remember at one point having a discussion with our grant officer at CPB. We were talking about news and information programming, and he even wanted to make it clear that by giving WUNC this grant, it was not a vote of news programming over music programming. He said basically this should be up to stations to decide how best to serve their audiences, and the CPB was there to help create that greater capacity.
Okay. Go to the phones. 1-877-962-9862 is the number, and Hugh is with us from Durham. Hi there, Hugh.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I happened to be on the Ombudsman's website when the program came out, so it was kind of timely, and I was reading this. It essentially says that less than 1% of money comes from the CPB, and public radio stations average 13% of their funding from the CPB.
Less than 1% goes to NPR.
That's correct.
Okay.
And some of that money comes back to NPR in fees and membership dues, program fees and membership dues. So I guess my question is, would it be a realistic goal for public radio to ultimately try to make the financing and the programs truly public by phasing out government and corporate money? And thereby you could put these charges, whether they're real or unreal, of undue influence to rest.
Joan Seifert Rose, Hugh raises an interesting question there. Could public radio get off of that need for CPB money? Does public TV require more than public radio does
survive? Yeah, that's a good question. It's interesting, too, to hear how the meaning of the word public has changed so much. You know, publicly funded used to mean government funded. Now I'm hearing this caller say publicly funded should mean all coming from the public. I just think that's interesting. And Hugh, I think when you refer to the ombudsman, you mean Jeffrey Dvorkin, NPR's ombudsman, is that correct? I don't know if he's still there or not. Anyway, yes, it is true, by the way. I'll just do a little background. 1% of CPB funds do directly go to National Public Radio. The rest do come to stations like ours. I will say that I think among the leading stations, like WUNC, North Carolina Public Radio, and some of the ones serving larger audiences, it may be a realistic goal eventually to do without government funding. We have been without state funding for over 12 years now, and we've been managed to make that transition. But I think the more important thing is that it does not mean that every station is in the enviable position that we are in terms of getting the support from local listeners and from local businesses. The point that I really think it is important to make about CPB funding is it does support, this funding all across the system supports broadcasters serving not just communities like the Research Triangle Park, but also, you know, we have a station that serves northeastern North Carolina, where the population is not large and where the level of income is quite low. Without basically some sort of support from the government to build that station out there, it is doubtful that we could have afforded to reach that community. There are other smaller stations in North Carolina, in Roanoke Rapids and out in the western part of the state, that serve very small audiences and sometimes specialized audiences. So when you talk about could radio do without federal funding, I think, again, you need to keep in mind that we're talking about a system in general that reaches everybody in the country pretty much, and that some stations probably are more reliant on this than others. I do believe that the primary goal of any funding decision that goes forward from here would be to assure and protect service to all listeners. And if that means perhaps looking at rural stations or maybe TV stations receiving a larger share of those funds, that would probably be an important discussion to have.
We're talking about the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is in the news a lot of late for a proposal to cut funding to the CPB, which would then cut funding to public radio and television stations, and also questions of control and political control of the CPB. With us right now is media critic Cliff Kincaid. He is editor of the Accuracy in Media Report. It is published by Accuracy in Media, a conservative group that monitors media coverage. Cliff Kincaid is based in Washington and joins us on the phone now. Thanks for being with us today.
Great to be with you.
Thank you. Now, you support the cuts that are being proposed to the CPB's operating budget, is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, tell us why. Why should the CPB's budget be cut?
Because public broadcasting has had 40 years of taxpayer subsidies. We've added it up through the CPB alone, $8 billion, that's with a B, $8 billion. There may have been an argument for non-commercial broadcasting almost 40 years ago when the whole thing started, but no longer at a time of new media, cable TV, satellite radio and TV, the Internet, all these different choices out there. And furthermore, as you yourself have pointed out, very little of the federal money actually goes into the NPR overall budget, only about 1%. About 25% goes into the national PBS budget. These entities, plus I think public TV and radio stations, can survive on their own by going into the marketplace for funding, and they should. And if the support is out there for them, they will survive, and then we can get all this talk of politics and bias behind us.
So you're saying the government's role in public broadcasting should be to not have a role there?
That's right. We favor the complete elimination of the $400 million subsidy. We think it's unfair to favor some broadcasters with federal money over others. I'm sure many of your listeners and callers would object if federal money went to Rush Limbaugh or G. Gordon Liddy. We just got to stop it. And on top of that, as many members of Congress are saying, and this is what's behind the 25% cut, we just can't afford it anymore at a time of a massive budget deficit.
So we have been discussing this hour, Cliff Kincaid, that there are two issues going on here. On the one hand, there's the monetary issue, the proposed cuts to CPB, and on the other, move by the CPB chair to put more openly conservative programs on the air and take care of what he says is a perception that PBS programs, public broadcasting programs, tilt to the left. Which is the more important issue for you, if you had your druthers? Would it be to cut the funding to CPB, or would it be to balance things, as Ken Tomlinson says needs to be done?
Well, it depends on how you balance things. We've got a report, a quite lengthy report, up on our website now at aim.org, called The Case for Defunding Public Broadcasting, where we say that it's perfectly acceptable for Tomlinson to try to enforce the law under which public TV and radio are funded, which is that they're supposed to produce programs with strict adherence to balance and objectivity. We just object to the way he's gone about it. We don't think the answer to liberal bias is to fund conservative bias. His idea of countering the Bill Moyers show was to spend $5 million more on the Wall Street Journal editorial report featuring members of the journal's editorial page. You know, that's sort of crazy in our view. I mean, the Journal is part of Dow Jones, a multi-billion dollar corporation. Why should they be getting taxpayer dollars to do a show? So we think the proper approach is to get public broadcasting out of politics by eliminating the federal money and letting them survive in the marketplace on their own.
Okay. We're going to take a call now. Charles is with us from Raleigh. Hi there, Charles.
Hello.
Hi. Did you have a comment for our guests?
Yes. You know, it's amazing what the gentleman just said. One thing I've learned from vitriol right-wing corporate-sponsored radio, in terms of Rush Limbaugh, is follow the money trail. I would imagine that this gentleman makes damn good money. The money probably comes from multinational corporations.
I do want to give Cliff a chance. Is that the case, Cliff?
How
are you funded?
I just can't hear your callers.
Oh, okay. He was suggesting that you were funded by multinational corporations.
I don't know of one multinational corporation that gives us any money.
Okay. Well, anyway, continue with your point,
Charles.
That's
amazing. Let me put it this way. Let me take and have the gentleman respond to this then. In the United States, there's always been the term commons. In other words, we have parks, we have recreation areas, we have roads. Okay, we take care of our elderly population. I listen to the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. I listen to the BBC. The Canadians produce a wonderful program called The National. They attack the Tories. They attack the right wing, the left wing. They do it in a balanced fashion. Is this gentleman telling me that the Canadians, the Brits, the New Zealands, the Australians can do something that America can't do? Or is this another one of, like, Grover Norquist's underlining statements where he said that the objective is to reduce government to the size where you can drown it in a bathtub? Do we have no commons anymore?
Okay,
no
commons. I'm gonna put that to Cliff Kincaid. Cliff, the CBC and BBC certainly do programming that criticizes their own government. NPR has
Well, I have
done
no
the same.
Problem with anybody criticizing the government. But let's make the following point, if the caller is concerned about the role of corporations. The fact is that it started out as non-commercial, but public broadcasting is now commercial. They don't call them commercials. They don't call them advertisements. But that's the direction they're going. And frankly, I applaud that. There's no problem with that. In fact, recently PBS announced that they were going into a joint venture with Comcast Cable to distribute and produce a 24-hour-a-day cable channel directed at kids with all the familiar characters from Sesame Street and Clifford the Big Red Dog and all the rest of them. And that's the way they should be going. There's nothing wrong with corporations. PBS is going to corporations for money. They should go to other foundations for money. NPR should do the same. NPR got a $200 million grant last year from Joan Kroc of the McDonald's Fortune. They could go to people like George Soros or Ted Turner or Bill Gates who their listeners and supporters. All of that should be encouraged. The point is, though, that we've had this experiment for 40 years, more than enough time for them to stand on their own after $8 billion. They should just recognize the handwriting on the wall, and I think many of them do, and go truly independent.
Joan Seifert-Rose, did you want to jump in there?
Well, I think as far as the corporate support that is that you hear on stations, I mean, they are actually somewhat different from commercials by federal law. But, you know, the point that is made that the funding for the programming does need to come from somewhere. So I think that one of the trade-offs that you've seen on public broadcasters, as there's been less government support for public broadcasting, there's been more corporate support and more contributions from individual donors. You know, it's an interesting point that I'm hearing just in general about the ability of public radio and public TV to stand on their own. I just want to remind everyone that I think people are thinking of stations that serve urban areas and suburban areas. And it's also really important to keep in mind that there are many stretches of this country where this really may be the only service that they have providing in-depth news and information or cultural programming. And I think it would be very difficult to get business support or individual support to sustain services in places like that.
Okay. We go to the phones. Pete is with us from Chapel Hill. Hi there, Pete.
How you doing?
Okay, welcome.
I just wanted to say that I think it's very important to support public broadcasting, and in here in Orange County, we're organizing, a number of groups are organizing a day or a meeting on August 4th to air the Bill Moyers video on this whole issue that he did in the St. Louis Conference on Media Reform. But saying that, let me say why I think it's important to support public broadcasting. The fact is, it's what we are having is the takeover on the media of the media more and more by corporate values and commercial values. And so, you know, we have TV that is competing reality shows and incredibly dumbed down kind of television. Commercial TV is almost a total wasteland.
Well, you know, Pete, we're running on the end of the hour. I do want to have Cliff Kincaid have a chance to respond to what you said before we go, but thank you for your points. Cliff Kincaid?
The only thing I would add is that public TV and radio have already been commercialized. I mean, if you want to talk commercialization, look at Big Bird and Clifford the Big Red Dog. I mean, these characters are big money makers. They make a lot of money. They are commercialized. Perhaps more of the profits from the sales of those characters ought to go back into public TV. But that's the road we're going, and I think that's preferable than forcing the taxpayers to pay for something they may not want to watch.
You've been through this other times. Do you think that this the cuts to public broadcasting are going to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting will make it through Congress this time?
It's going to be a close call because, of course, the supporters of public broadcasting are claiming that anybody who supports a cut wants to kill a Big Bird or chop off the head of Clifford the Big Red Dog. That's not the case, but that's the kind of propaganda we're seeing up here on the Hill.
Okay. Well, Cliff Kincaid, thank you for joining us this hour.
My pleasure.
Cliff Kincaid is editor of the Accuracy in Media Report. He is based in Washington. And thanks to Joan Seifert-Rose for being with us this hour, too. Thanks, Joan.
I'm glad to be here.
Joan Seifert-Rose is general manager of North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. And for today, that is the state of things. Thank you for listening. If you have a comment about our program, our email here is sot@wunc.org. Support for the state of things comes from listeners who support North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Melinda Pencava.